Last week, Eric came and started the I Am series, and he talked about how the Lord is the bread of life, and that is amazing, that all the striving that we do, all of the trying and pushing and pulling and running and whatever to be satisfied and satiated and fulfilled, all those things are actually fulfilled in the Lord, the one who is everlasting satisfaction, the one who is everlasting fulfillment. And that is a crazy statement. It's a crazy statement for anyone else to make. But he keeps going. He keeps making them, because right after that, he makes the mind-blowing statement to the Jews that he is the light of the world. The light of the world. John 8:12, he says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." There's so much to unpack there. He's not just teaching in the temple. He's teaching in the temple and in the middle of the Festival of Booths. So the temple is lit, I mean, to the nines. You can see that temple all through the city. Because the Festival of Booths is the 7 days where these Jews remember and celebrate and feast. Because they're remembering what Jesus did for them in the wilderness. They're remembering that not only did he provide manna for them, thank you, bread of life. Not only did he do that, he provides everything they need. He leads them out of slavery and into the promised land. He leads them with a cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. So it's really interesting that when he makes the statement, "I am the bread of life," it's in the context of the fact that they're thinking about God raining manna on their ancestors. His timing is not accidental. He's saying, you remember that the Lord provided for you temporarily. He provided enough for you to have for that day. He gave them daily bread over and over and over again. But he's saying, in reality, I am your eternal sustenance. You want to celebrate that the Lord lit the way for you every night while you were on your journey. But I'm telling you, I am the eternal light. I am the fulfillment of that. His timing is not accidental. It's actually really, really profound. I am the eternal pillar of light. I am the true temple that is lit day and night eternally. Your feasts are temporary, but if you walk with me, you'll have light forever. That is an amazing promise. That verse in John is an amazing promise. It's actually three amazing promises, and I really want to talk about them, so let go. The first one, I am the light of the world. What is light and what does it do? I feel like it is a really easy thing for us to take for granted because we're not ever in pure darkness for long. But it's the force by which we see everything. It is the way you have any clarity. It is the way there is any visibility. And Jesus is saying, I'm all of that. I am the light of the world. The only way that you can see clearly is through me. That's crazy. It reminds me of that C.S. Lewis quote. He says, "I believe in Christianity as I believe in that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." That's what Jesus is saying. I am the light of the world, the light. Light and darkness is for sure a through line. It's a theme in the Bible from the very beginning to the very end. In the first chapter of the Bible, creation is explained, and how does the Lord start that? He says, "Let there be light." He created light and order to replace darkness and chaos. That's how the story begins, in the beginning. The Lord created the heavens and the earth. He did that by creating light. And in the very last chapter of the Bible, in Revelations 22, let's just go there. he says this. Starting in verse 1, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street of the city, also on either side of the river, and the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and the Lamb of God will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. It is a through line through the Bible. He's using it to talk about goodness versus evil. He's using it to talk about his presence versus isolation from him. That's why hell is referred to as outer darkness, the place where there is no light, the place where you are utterly separated from God, who is the light of the world. It's used over and over and over again. What I like about that Revelations verse is it's different than the John one, right? In John, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. If you will follow me, you won't walk in darkness, meaning there is darkness here and now, meaning that you can walk in darkness if you choose to, that you will have to encounter it. But in Revelations, it says, there will be no night. There is only light. God is there. He doesn't leave. He's unfailing. Praise God. I can't wait for that. That is a profound recurring theme through the word. Not just good and evil, it shows us, not just God's presence or his lack of presence there, but also vision. It's the picture of understanding versus ignorance. He's saying that because of me, you can have clarity. Because of me, you can see clearly. How desperately do we need that in a world that is very much trying to deceive us? There's a deceiver. There's someone who is actively hoping that you cannot see clearly. Okay. So what's this promise? I am the light of the world. What is he saying? The first thing is that there is no other light. He didn't say, I am a light of the world. He doesn't even say, I am the brightest light of the world. He says, I am the light of the world. That is an important promise because what he's saying is, it is me or it is darkness. What he's saying is that you do have a choice, and it is between Jesus and it is between the dark. Think about what that means in light of our pride or our idolatry. Just like Eric said last week, he said, God is very clear. He is the bread of life. He is the thing that sustains you. You cannot be sustained without him. He is that thing. In the same way, he is the light of the world. You cannot have clarity without him. That's what it means when he says, I am the light of the world. If you want understanding, if you want truth, if you want clarity, you have to go by it through him. He's saying, I am the good, the clarity, the presence of God. If you're looking for ways to understand the world or predict or make sense of, you've got to do it through him. What's the second thing? Jesus is king. That's what that's saying. He's El Roy. He is clarity. He is truth. He sees all. He knows intimately. He is truth. He's saying, I am the king. He didn't stumble on the world and say, oh, I guess I'll redeem that. He was there when it was created. It was made through him. The Bible says nothing was made that wasn't made through him. That includes us. We were created to be his. We can make the choice that we don't want to be because God is a gentleman, because he won't force you to follow him or know him or love him, but you were created for him. You were created to be with him. He's the king. We were made to look for him and find him. He isn't hiding from us. He's the light of the world. That's important. Do you ever feel like God is hiding his will from you? You don't know why things are happening the way they're happening. Why is he making the choices that he's making? I feel like that. But man, isn't it good to know he is the light, he is the goodness. If this room, if any room was pitch black dark and I lit a match, unless something is obstructing your view in front of your face, you're gonna see that match wherever you are. He's not hiding from us. He is the light of the world. And that tells us the third thing about that promise. There is no other light. He is king, and there is hope. Because while he has the power to illuminate the ugly and the bad things, both inside of us and outside of us, that's what the law did. He also can show us the good, the beautiful. The world feels hopelessly dark sometimes, but it is not, because Jesus is the light of the world. And as long as he is here in you, in me, this place isn't dark. There is darkness here, but this place isn't dark because we're here and you can't hide lights. If something isn't directly obstructing your vision, you can see that sucker forever. Have you thought about the fact, I feel like it comes naturally to us because we're just always in light, but have you thought about what it is versus what darkness is? Light is an actual thing. It can be measured. Darkness is not. It's just the absence of that. It's just the absence of that thing. What power does it have in and of itself? We can talk about that in a little bit. But there is hope because God is here, because he's come to this place. He's Emmanuel with us, and he's even with us now. There is hope, which is a perfect segue to the second part of that promise in John 8:12. He says, I'm the light of the world, but he also says, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. And man, I need this promise. I need it when I'm thinking about the world and how awful it is and what our place is in it. I need to be reminded that we don't have to walk in darkness. Can we go word nerd for a second? Because it matters what he's saying here. He says, whoever follows him will not walk in darkness. So that word follow, it matters. What does that word mean? The word that's used there in John is akalutheo, which means follow me, join with me, be with me, and like me. He's inviting us to be disciples there. That is different than the call to follow in other places in the Bible. For example, in Mark 4, when Jesus is calling the first disciples, Peter and Andrew, he says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The word come or follow me there is actually the word doute, which means it's a command saying physically, let's go. And what do? The disciples drop what they're doing and they follow the Lord. That second follow is akalutheia. When Jesus in John 8 says, follow me, and you will not walk in darkness, he's not just saying, go where I go. He's saying, be my disciples, be like me, make your life look like mine. He's inviting us to be like him. And if that's true, we need to do a character study on Christ. What does it mean to not walk in darkness? It means to walk like Jesus. In faith, he knew who his father was. He was not concerned about those who wanted to kill him. He said, I'm not scared about the person that would take my life. You shouldn't be scared about that. You should be scared about the person that could take your soul. He had faith. He was so utterly kind and forgiving to those who the world wanted to destroy. Right before this verse in John 8, the woman who was caught in adultery, never mind the man, we don't care about him. He can do what he wants. I don't have any bitterness, don't worry. But the woman who's caught in adultery, they want to stone her to death. It's also another trap for Jesus. And his response is, if you haven't sinned, if you have been holy and righteous and stood apart your entire life, then you get to be the first one to cast a stone. He's so utterly forgiving. His perspective is nothing like ours, where we want to punish, where we want to harm, where we want to see the justification. That's not the way Jesus is. The only people that Jesus was angry with like that were the people who harmed his loved ones, were the people who twisted his words, were the people who made others feel inferior because they would never be able to add up. Like anyone can add up. Like anyone is righteous or holy before the Lord. Those are the people that Jesus was mad at. Man, everyone else, he was so loving and faithful to. If we want to be disciples, if we want to follow Christ and not walk in darkness, it means we need to walk like he did. It means we need to walk in love, in unity, and care for one another, correcting each other, not building walls between each other, but building love and hope, lifting one another up. That's how Jesus lived. That's what it means to follow Jesus there. Okay, back to the verse. Remember, we said that there is darkness. That's the promise there. He said, if you'll follow me, you won't walk in darkness, but if you won't, then you do. So there is darkness. So if there's darkness around you, what does that promise mean, that you won't walk in darkness? It means you don't have to be without sight. It doesn't mean that there's no darkness. It means you can see through it. It means you don't have to lose your hope when you're in a dark world, because that's not the end for you. You can see through the darkness. It doesn't have to stymie you. You don't have to take it into yourself. You can walk around darkness. You can walk through darkness without taking it into yourself. That's what he's saying. If you'll follow me, it doesn't have to be a part of you. Look at what he says in John 17 when he is praying for us. And I do mean us. This is Jesus praying for us in the garden. He says he's praying for his disciples and the ones who will hear the words of his disciples and believe. That's us. Jesus stood in the garden and prayed for us, and he prayed this: I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. And as you've sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. He said, you can be there, but that won't be your home. You can be there, you can be in it, and not be of it. That's what it means for us to not take the darkness into ourselves. That we can be here and not be tainted by it. That we can be here and know that our home is with him, in the place where there is no crying and no tears, there's no hurt, there's no pain, there's no sin, there's no night, because the light, the Lord himself, reigns day and night. Amen? Has there ever been a time that it's more important to not take the darkness into ourselves? I don't know. He's promising us vision. He's promising us that we'll be able to see clearly. And with that in mind, I really want to invite Sterling up here. If you don't know her, this is Sterling Nowak. Grab your mic. Good job. That's Sterling Nowak! This lovely girl gave me my favorite compliment I think I've ever gotten. After she got baptized, I gave her a hug, and she said to me, who had just gotten baptized, she said to me, "You are amazing, you are beautiful, and you smell like gingerbread." I remember that. I never told that. I asked Sterling to come up here today because I am always amazed when I talk to her, how clearly she sees. How clearly she sees the Lord. She's so young, but her understanding of the Lord is so profound. So, will you introduce yourself to us? Tell us a little bit about you.
Hello, I am Sterling Nowak, as Takasha said. I am in seventh grade, and I write poetry.
I am amazed when I remember that you're in seventh grade. In my mind, you're for sure a high schooler. She's got wisdom beyond her years. Tell me a little bit about, so a group of students went to the culture conference last week, and Emily is your mom. Sterling was one of those students, and when I was talking to her about it this week, I was just blown away at some of her takeaways, and that's why I really wanted her to share with you today. So I wondered if you would just tell us like how the conference affected you and what you learned.
I learned a lot about God and about the world in the conference. A lot of people normally say, like, you can't be angry, you can't be sad, you can't have these big emotions because they're not God-like, but they are. God is angry, and the scripture says that. It just, he uses that anger towards love instead of hate.
Mm-hmm. What does that look like for you? Like, what is your understanding of God tell you about you and about the world?
Well, it tells me that there's all of these things and the world isn't broken because people aren't trying hard enough. It's not broken because people are angry and that's bad. It's broken because people don't know how to take that anger and turn it into love.
How do you do that?
I don't. I am still a child. I am still working on it. I am trying.
You might not do it perfectly, but you do do it. I see it all the time. Did you hear everybody go, yes? It's because you do it for them. You bring love to them. You're kind to them in a world that isn't. There are lots of ways where you show the love of the Lord.
Thank you.
Yeah. We're all still trying to figure it out.
I think that's the main thing. You just gotta have to try.
Yeah. How do you do that with your friends?
There's a lot of different ways. I try to be there for them when others aren't, or when it doesn't seem like they need it. Like if it seems like they have it all together, I try to be there and tell them, hey, I know everything's not perfect. What's wrong? What's going on?
Yeah. You're one of the best encouragers I know, for the record.
Really?
Yes. Sometimes if I'm not in a good heart space or head space, I walk into here and you show me the love of God. Thank and I know that you do that for a lot of people here. I really, really wanted to ask you if you would be willing to read the poem that you read as I back away slowly. If you would read the poem that you read at the culture conference for our brothers and sisters.
Sure. Why do we live in this world filled with hate? In its current state, I would rate this world not great because it's filled with so much hate. Why do we light the fires of anger and drown the world in sadness when we could fill the world with the laughter of joy and the light of love? Why do we live in this world filled with hate? In its current state, I would rate this world not great because it's filled with so much hate. But why do people hate? Why do people kill? Why do they cause pain and sadness? Why do people start wars? Will we ever know? Is it just one answer, or does everyone have different motives? The past is the past, and we can't change that. But we can change the future to create a better, brighter one. We choose to live in this world filled with hate, but instead choose to live in this world and make it a world filled with love and kindness and not hate.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, friend.
You're welcome.
I appreciate you. Thanks for being willing to do that. You can go down. Sterling. Guys, she's in the seventh grade. And she talks like that to her family and to her friends and to random people about how good the Lord is and about how if we will follow him, we won't live in darkness. That's what she was saying. When I heard that, I was like, you know, that's literally what I'm talking about on Sunday. Would you be willing to share? That's literally what I was talking. Guys, that's the picture of what it would look like to follow, to akalatheia Christ, to live like him, to decide to love when that's not what we want to do. Okay, third promise. He said, he is the light of the world. He said that if we would follow him, we wouldn't walk in darkness. The third part of that is, but we would have the light of life. I don't know how much you've thought about this, but I've thought about it a lot in the last couple weeks. And I feel like there is a temptation to just be like the light of life, like we're alive. That's what it is, right? Don't we all have that? But the word is clear. There are many people who are in whitewashed tombs. There are many people who are dead and will die again because life is him. Choosing to be without him is choosing death. The way Matthew Henry said it is, they shall have the light of life. That's the knowledge and enjoyment of God in this world and of everlasting life in the next. The place where there will be no death, no darkness. If you follow Christ, undoubtedly you'll have joy here and in the next life. That's the light of life. He's making a huge promise there. If the first one was, I am the light, and the third one is, you will have the light, he is promising something to you, that he will be with you and in you. Think about the Holy Spirit. When he gave the Holy Spirit, before he died, he told his disciples that it would be better for me to go because I wouldn't just walk with you. I will send the helper to be with you, to be in you, to be a guide, to be a counselor to you, in you always. That is an amazing promise. Look at Matthew 5, starting in verse 14. He says, you are the light of the world. That's true if you will follow, if you will akalatheia the Lord, you will not walk in darkness, but you will be the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Not only will he be our light, not only will he be our hope, but he will let us in on the mission. The way you love one another matters. The way you love the world matters because now you are the light of the world. Amen. How unbelievably good must his redemption be that he would choose to do his work through us? We are fatally flawed. But that he would say, not only will I come and be the hope and be the light, but I will give it to you. I will let you hold it. I will let you carry it. I will let you be in this with me. What do we do with this? What do we do with that? Other than love one another, other than fight for unity, other than love the people that come across our paths. Because Jesus said, love one another. He also said, love your enemy. Other than that, what are we doing? I think the main thing that has stuck with me this week is that we do not fight darkness with darkness. We don't try to trick it or outsmart it. We invite light in. We ask the Lord into those situations. We pray because our prayers are powerful. We look like him because he allows us to. We follow him. Martin Luther King Jr. said it this way, darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Have you ever tried to fight a sin in the dark by yourself? That is so much harder. Satan is in every crevice. He's waiting to trip you back up. There's a way to shine light into that. It's confession. It's bringing your brothers and sisters into it with you. It's refusing to let darkness have the power there. You know how much easier and better it is to shed light in our darkness. I really want to end with this. These verses in John. We're all very, very familiar with John 3:16. But keep reading. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light. And because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. Lord, we are so unbelievably thankful for your light. Of course it exposes our hearts. Of course it exposes us. But it also shows us the truth. You are the truth. It also helps us see the schemes of Satan. It helps us see through the darkness. You have not left us defenseless in a dark world where we are grappling for truth. You said in the book of James that if any of us lacks wisdom, we should ask. And you would give it liberally and without reproach. You did not leave us defenseless in the dark. You want us to know you. You want us to see you clearly. Thank you. We desperately, desperately want that. We want to be with you and we want to be like you. We want to follow you in spirit and in truth. We want to be joined with you so that the world could see you clearly. Help us carry your light with faithfulness, with steadfastness. What a job you've entrusted us with. We can only be faithful because you are. We can only love you because you've loved us. We can only be with you because you came here. You are Emmanuel with us, faithful. We love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.